Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. We're still in the book of 1 John. We're in chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 18. We're going to see if we can get through the rest of the chapter tonight. As we've been studying this book, you remember the Apostle John, again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave us two purposes or two reasons that this book was written. One was so that we could know that we're saved. In 1 John 5:13, it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." God doesn't want us to doubt. He wants us to know. We can have a know-so salvation. And these things were written so that we can know. They were also written that our joy would be full. In 1 John 1:4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy be full." And so, as we've talked about the last couple of weeks, this little epistle, this little letter, is full of evidences or tokens or signs or indicators. And if you have these things in your life, you can know that you're saved. And the more of these things you have in your life, the more your joy will be full. And so he said, that's why I've written this epistle. And so far, we've talked about some of the things, some of the indicators that are in this book. We've talked about walking in the light. Jesus is the light. We've talked about keeping his commandments. If you walk in the light, if you keep his commandments, that's a good sign that you're saved, a good indicator that you're saved. We're not saved by works. I mean, we're saved because we believe on the name of the Son of God. We believe on Jesus. But if we believe on him, he transforms us. He makes everything new. And one of the ways it shows up is that we walk in the light and we keep his commandments. And so if you're doing that, that's a good indication that you are saved. If you're doing that, your joy will be fuller. The more you walk in the light, the more of his commandments you keep, the more joy you'll have in your life. Last week, we added a couple of things to those. We add the fact that if you love the brethren, if you love others that are saved, that's a good indication that you're saved. And the more you love them, the more joy you'll have in your life. We also talked about not loving the world. The more we distance ourselves from the world, it's an indicator that we've been saved. And the more we distance ourselves from the world and hate the things that are in the world and love not the things that are in the world, the more joy we'll have in our life. Now, we're going to add a couple of things to those four that we've already talked about from the passages of Scripture tonight. The first one is staying by the stuff, standing, not quitting, abiding in the work of God. And then the other one we're going to talk about tonight is the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. If you are anointed by the Holy Spirit of God, you can know that you're saved. And the more you let, and the more of the Holy Spirit you have, or let me say it a different way, the right way, the more of the Holy Spirit has of you, the greater your joy will be in this Christian life. So look at verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. And we're going to read verses 18 and 19 to get started. "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they have been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." Now remember last week we talked about John's use of the term little children. We talked about little children, young men, and fathers. And it wasn't so much that he was writing to those of different age groups, but he was writing to those of different maturities in Christ. The little children are those that were just saved, the young men somewhere in the middle, and the fathers, those have been saved for a while. I don't think it's the same thing when he uses little children here, because what he's going to say is a word of encouragement and a word of warning to all Christians. And so I think the little children here is probably more like dear children, my beloved children in Christ. He says, it's the last time, and it is the last time. The last time started when Jesus came into the earth, lived among us, was crucified, rose again, and then ascended back to heaven. When that happened, the last time started. The next thing that's on God's calendar is the rapture. where he comes back and gets us as Christians. I believe, by the way, that's going to happen before the tribulation starts. I believe we're going to be raptured before the tribulation starts. And I was talking, I can't remember who it was on Sunday, but I was talking to somebody on Sunday that we were living in the last days, and he made the comment, he says, isn't God good? He's so patient. He said, there's nothing else that needs to happen to the rapture, and yet he's waiting to send Jesus back so that more and more people can be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But John says, the Antichrist will come. Now, he's talking about the Antichrist. We're going to talk about other Antichrist, but there's one Antichrist that Daniel talked about in chapter 4 when he says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. Paul talked about him. In one verse, there's many, but one verse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, he called him a man of sin, the son of perdition. And he says, even now there are many, many antichrists, many who oppose the person, the doctrine, and the kingdom of Christ. And they're the forerunner of that great one that will come. And again, Jesus talked that these people like this would come in the last days, in the last time. In Matthew chapter 24, remember, he had told his disciples, had showed them the temple, and he said, look, all this stuff's going to be tore down. And the disciples said, when's it going to happen? And Jesus talked to them about when it was going to happen. And he said in that chapter, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And so John says, we're in the last time. And we know we're in the last time because these folks that are anti-Christ, these folks that are against Christ, are here. They're operating. They're doing exactly what Jesus said they would do. They're trying to draw people away from Christ. And John makes the statement, they went out from us. They were people that were in the church. They were people that said they were Christians. They were people that associated with the things of God, but he says they weren't really of us. In other words, they weren't really saved. Because if they had been saved, they wouldn't have went out from us. But they went out from us so that their true nature would be known or be manifested. And so what John is saying here, one of the things that we can draw from this is that if you're truly saved, you're going to stick by the stuff. You won't leave. You won't stray. And by the way, that's not only a sign that you're saved, but the longer you stick by the stuff, the fuller your joy will be. I've heard that song sung many, many times, and I love it every time I hear it sung. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. And those of you that have been at it even longer than I know that it's true. The longer we serve him, the greater our joy, the sweeter it is to serve him. Look at verse 20. But, and I thought Jeannie was going to get into my sermon tonight. I knew she was getting close. But ye have an unction from the Holy Ghost, from the Holy One, and ye know all things. You have an unction. I remember as a kid singing that little song, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. We always sing the chorus, give me unction in my gumption, let me function, function, function. That word unction means the act of anointing, being anointed. We have an anointing from the Holy One. Anointing in the Old Testament was used for kings and for priests. It was part of their inaugural ceremony. Oil was poured on their heads. You can read in Psalm, I think it's 133, about the oil that was poured on Aaron's head and ran down his beard and onto his robes. I used that verse to define what anointing was when I anointed my first person for health. And I let it, she didn't have a beard, but it ran down all the way. We have an anointing, John says, from the Holy One. In the New Testament, God's chosen king, the The Messiah, the one that was called Christ, was the anointed one. He had the anointing of God. He had the oil. And when we get saved, we are anointed by God's oil. His oil is the Holy Ghost. When we get saved, we get anointed by the Holy Ghost. He is poured out. He is poured in to every person that trusts Christ. In fact, the name Christian, it means little Christ. And the name Christ means anointed one. So we as Christians are little anointed ones. We are anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. And a sign or an indicator or a marker that you are saved is that you have the unction, the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And again, the more we have of him, or the more he has of us, the greater our joy will be. Now, since we have that unction, since we have that anointing, John says, we know all things. In his gospel, when John was talking about the functions of the Holy Ghost, one of the things that he told, when Jesus was talking about the functions of the Holy Ghost, and John recorded it in his gospel, Jesus said that that's what the Holy Ghost was going to do. When he was going to come, he was going to teach you all things. He was going to teach you about me. In John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine," in other words, what is mine, "and shall show it unto you." And so part of the Holy Ghost's function in our life, as we get the unction, the anointing of him, is for him to teach us about Christ, about who Christ is. Now look at verses 21 through 23. "I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledged the Son hath the Father also." If we are anointed, if we have the unction, if we have the anointing of the Holy One, if we are anointed with the Holy Ghost, we know the truth. And John's saying, I'm right, not because you don't know the truth, you know it. You know it. But and he says, I'm just writing to remind you. And what is the truth? What's the basic truth that the Holy Spirit will teach us? That Jesus is the Christ. He is God's anointed one. He is the King. He is the Messiah. The one who doesn't know the truth, the one who lies, is the one that denies Jesus is the Christ. He is against Christ. And if he's against Christ, he's also against the Father. And so anybody that tells you and tries to argue with you and tries to convince you that Jesus is not the Christ, Jesus is not the Messiah, Jesus is not who he is portrayed to be in this book, is a liar. The truth is not in him. He is anti-Christ. He is against Christ. He is against God the Father. Verse 24, "Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father." So let that truth stay in you. In other words, live in that truth. Let it abide in you. And that truth is that Jesus is the Christ. John says, you've heard it from the beginning. You've heard it, and again, what I think he's talking about, the beginning of your Christian life. I mean, you heard it when you got saved. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the one that was promised by God. When you believed on him, that was part of the truth that you believed. And he says, if that remain in you. In other words, if you live in that truth that Jesus is the Christ, he is the King, he is the Messiah, he is the promised one from God, ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. In other words, you won't fall away. You won't quit. You'll stay by the stuff. You'll stand. You'll abound in the work of the Lord. And so these two things that we're talking about tonight are intermeshed. Okay? One of the signs that we can know that we're saved is if we stay by the stuff. And one of the ways we stay by the stuff is that we live in the truth that the Holy Spirit gives us, that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the anointed one, that he is the Savior. Look at verse 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Those that don't know Christ will exist forever. They will never die, but they will never have life. Because the only way you can have life, not only eternal life, but abundant life, is through Jesus Christ. Those that don't have them, they'll exist. They exist here on earth, and they'll exist in all eternity in that place called hell. But they'll never know what it is to have true life because they don't know Jesus Christ. Verses 26 and 27. But these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. Here's a verse, if you don't come to Sunday school, you might as well make it your life verse. I'm going to dispute it in just a minute, not the verse, but I'm going to tell you what it really means. You say, well, I've been anointed by the Holy Spirit. I don't need any man to teach me. So I don't need to come to Sunday school. Because you teach the Bible in Sunday school, I don't need any man to teach. That's what this verse says. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So what he's saying is, now look, it's God will use Sunday school lessons. And God will use sermons. And God will use Bible studies. But the one who teaches you the truth, the one who takes the Sunday school lesson and applies it to your life and gets it into the recesses of your life where it needs to be, is not the teacher. It's not the preacher. It's not the leader of the Bible study. The one that teaches you is the Holy Ghost. He'll use men to present the truth, but it's the Holy Ghost that takes it and drives it into the parts of our life where it needs to be. And it's the Holy Ghost that teaches us. And if you let him teach you, you will abide in him. Look at verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Again, not just talking to people that have just been saved, but talking to his little children, his dear little children. He says, abide in him, live in him, exist in him, in the Holy Spirit, so that when he, Jesus, shall appear, when Jesus returns, we can have the confidence that, first of all, he's coming back for us. He's coming back for us. And that we not be ashamed. In other words, if we abide in him, if we live in the Holy Spirit, then we'll always be doing what we're supposed to do. We'll always be where we need to be. We'll always say what we need to say. And in fact, we ought to live in the reality that Jesus could come back at any moment. There's nothing else that needs to happen. He could come back in the next second. And everything according to the Bible would be according to the Bible. There's nothing else that needs to happen. He could come back at any moment. And I don't know about you, if he could come back at any moment, I don't want to be doing something, or I don't want to be somewhere. I don't want to be having words come across my lips that I'm going to be ashamed of if he came back right in the middle of. Now, the only way I can ensure that I'm not going to be ashamed is to make sure that I never get into those situations where I would be ashamed if he came back while I was in them. And so if we abide in him and live in the reality that he gives us the strength to stay out of those places that we shouldn't be in and not say those things that we shouldn't say and not even think those things that we shouldn't think. You know, Jesus knows our thoughts. I'd hate to be thinking about something bad when he came back. I'd hate to be thinking bad about somebody or about something, and he show up and say, what's on your mind? You don't have to tell me. I already know. Verse 29. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. That phrase, doeth righteousness, is not a one or two or three acts of righteousness. It's a lifestyle. It's a history of walking in the light, of obeying his commandments. And if we do that, it says, we can know that we've been born of him. So, you have an unction of the Holy One. You have been anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. And if we have, we ought to live in him, or let him live through us. You know, when we got saved, we got all the Holy Spirit we were going to get. We got all of them. When we got saved, he probably didn't get all of us. He got some pieces. There's some doors that we need to open up. There's some parts of our life that we probably kept to ourselves because we think, well, I can handle this part of my life by myself. Holy Spirit, I don't need your help. How foolish. How foolish. He can control. He can help us live every part of our life so much better than we can live on our own. You know, in the book of Revelation, at the end of chapter 3 there, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, and I'll come in and sup with him. I think the same thing can be said about the Holy Spirit. I'll knock at every door of every piece of your life that you haven't opened, and I'll call your name, and I'll ask if I can come in. And if you'll let me come in, we'll do a whole lot better in that part of your life than you've ever done before. What a good God. What a good God. All right. Thank you for being here tonight.